sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Coming to you this morning from Advanced Window Products, 3052 South, 460 West. Hope you'll come out and see us this morning. And we just got a demonstration on low-E windows and insulation in windows. Wow, what a difference some of these things can really make. If you haven't seen the latest technology in window products, you want to come out and see us this morning. The top of the hour feature this morning, if you've been out working in your yard in the last few days and you're starting to feel some of the aches and pains that can come with that, you're going to want to listen to an interview that I did with an assistant professor of health and wellness at USU Extension, Gabrielle Mirza. But we want to talk about that just for a few minutes this morning. Ton, we've talked to Gabby before, and you know, you don't want to go out in your yard the first weekend of the season and get hurt, right?
You don't. And Gabby really specializes in injury prevention and how to do things so that you're not quite as sore at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does a really good job with stretching and how to move when you're in the garden. And sometimes it seems silly. I'm just not even going to go do it. You know, I don't need to do this. But if you follow these techniques, they really will save a sore back.
Right.
Potentially more.
I did an interview with her for the Let's Get Moving with Maria podcast that you can find at kslpodcast.com. But we pulled a few of the sound bites from that so you can hear some of these tips this morning. And, you know, she says the biggest problem for gardeners is that we just, you know, we want to get out there and get things done. And we may not be in the best shape, or at least not in the same shape as we were in the last season. So she says the best way to prepare to do yard work is to think about it as another form of exercise.
We want to think of gardening as an exercise. And so, you know, warming up, stretching, hydrating, you know, while we're gardening, and also cooling down, so stretching at the end, and then even stretching during our gardening activities, especially if we're kind of in certain positions for a couple of minutes, we want to stretch those areas out.
And I said, so like, what are some of the most common injuries?
The most common things I see are overuse. We call these repetitive strain injuries, or RSIs. And those happen when you are engaging a certain part of your body for too long, or you're overusing a certain part of your body. So for example, the most common RSIs that I typically see are injuries in your lower back, neck, your ankles, your wrists, maybe even your thumb. So when we think of hand injuries, it usually can be in your thumb, where we kind of pull a little too much. So those are kind of the more common areas.
And then she had some great tips on how to avoid those repetitive movements.
Generally, the best practice for that is you want to change what you're doing about every 15 to 20 minutes, which means you're kind of changing the muscles that you're using. So for example, if you are on your knees pulling weeds, after about 15, 20 minutes, you want to change to doing something where you're standing up, or vice versa. The caveat to that though, is if you are doing something overhead where maybe you're pruning some branches overhead, or you're taking things off of leaves or whatever, but where your arms are overhead and you're looking up, you want to change about every 5-ish minutes. You want to bring your arms down, stretch, roll your shoulders back, you know, give your neck a break. Or the better thing for that is to have to be standing on a ladder or a stool that is high enough to where you are not looking up and straining your neck, or you're not having your arms overhead for too long. But generally about 5 minutes, every 5 minutes, you want to give yourself a break.
She really had a ton of great ideas. I can't play them all for you here. You can go and hear the full interview, though, at kslpodcast.com. It's the Let's Get Moving with Maria podcast. Michelle's also going to put a link on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page so you can find it there. But, you know, this in the full interview, I mean, she talks about tips to prevent back pain, to strengthen our muscles, and even like some tools that are friendlier on your hands. We know that, Todd, sometimes you buy those inexpensive tools. They don't cost you a lot, but really they take a toll on your hands and your wrists and your elbows.
They do. So for me, you know, just really quickly, I know we're running a little short, but, you know, hand pruners. I always find hand pruners that have a rubber bumper on them so that when I clip them together, it's cushioned, and it can really help keep your hand muscles and your joints from getting sore. And you can buy bigger ones that also have the rubber cushioning, but I don't have a problem paying $50 or $70 for a pair of hand pruners that are well made, that aren't going to break when I squeeze down on them. They'll last me a lifetime, but this can be important to making sure that you can stay safe.
Right, and these are things that are just going to make your time out in your garden just so much more enjoyable, you know, time out in your yard as well. So if you'd like to take a listen to that, again, you can find it at kslpodcast.com and a link on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. This morning, we are coming to you from Advanced Window Products. We're having a great time getting demonstrations, learning about low-E windows, all sorts of things. Nate Orchard is with us right now. And so let's talk about some of the things that you can show people when they come into your showroom about the latest technology and how much of a difference it can make, actually save them money on their utility bills.
Oh, that's a great question. We actually were just sitting out here with one of our specialists, Rob, and we were going over the heat lamp that we have, right? And putting up different panes of glass from your just, you know, regular pane, clear glass that you have, and comparing that to what we have in our low-E 366, right? The three layers of silver and how it just keeps the UV rays out and keeping the inside of your home nice and cool and comfortable and just deflecting that heat and keeping it outside and just night and day. So there's little things like that when you come into our showroom that you'll be able to feel and touch and see just to give you a visual of really what goes inside these windows.
Yeah, people can call Rob right now and ask him questions at 801-850-9100. But Jake, you were also talking about the difference insulation makes. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, so you talk about, as Nate's talking about the glass and the technology that we have with our glass, we also have with our vinyl an option to insulate the frame. And so that's going to provide additional energy efficiency. So that's going to help in the summer months keep that heat out. And in the winter months, it's going to help like keep the warmth inside your home. And that additional, that insulation is able to give you, put you to a U value that is qualifies for rebates from Rocky Mountain Power and Dominion Energy of $5.50 per foot. And that's a unique selling point that we have, that we're able to hit these U-values to get you those rebates from Rocky Mountain Power and Dominion. And you think about the amount of the money that you save that you can get from the rebates. And then we also have like homeowners that we've spoken with, and one that we spoke with last week, where they're in the summer months, they were at $350 a month for their air conditioning. We replaced their windows about a year ago now. And they said that they were down to $150 a month in that the air conditioning bills. So it's just the money that you can save on a monthly basis on those energy bills with the rebates. And then we have the financing options. And so it's, you put everything together and you're essentially, the money that you save is going to be paying for the windows.
And when people call today, make a consultation, they can save some money. You have a special right now. I want to give them that number again, 850-9100. But tell us about your special today.
Yeah, so if you call today, you know, get on the schedule with Rob. Allow him to come out to your home and assess your windows. Do an audit of your current windows. If you get 10 or more windows, you'll get $3,000 off.
A great deal. Thanks so much for having us here today. We want you folks to come down and see us today. We're Advanced Window Products, 3052 South, 460 West. We're going to come back with more of your calls and questions. You can call us now, 801-575-8255. Text 57500. Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton coming to you this morning from Advanced Window Products at 3052 South and 460 West here in Salt Lake City. You're taking your calls, and the phone lines are open at 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. Next, listener Ton says they have three Pacific Sunset maples that are 2 years old. One of them did not drop its leaves last fall, and they're not seeing new leaves yet. What could have happened? Is it still early?
It is a little early, but when a tree doesn't drop its leaves in the fall, that is a sign that the branches are dead. Because, well, and it's with certain trees. Other trees, like an oak or a sycamore, I wouldn't worry at all because they hold their leaves through the window, or through the winter. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But other trees, like maples, will drop. And so when you see that they still have leaves on the branches, that usually indicates something's wrong. So on the one tree, all they can really do is wait and see if it buds out, because sometimes it will have dormant buds that, you know, 6 or 8 weeks after the fact will start to form. But some things they could do right now is just to get a knife and scrape the bark and see if it's green underneath. On smaller branches, break a few of them and see if they're pliable when you bend them, or if they just snap like a, like they're brittle. If they're brittle, then they're probably dead. But sometimes that happens with trees, and after the fact, especially without more information, it can be really hard to say why it died.
Carl lives in Clinton. He's purchased a weeping Siberian pea shrub, and he wants to know what he needs to do to prepare the ground, and do they wrap the trunk for that in the winter?
It would be wise to wrap the trunk just because it has smooth bark, but otherwise it's a very durable tree. I would just plant it. It will tolerate the soil just fine.
Next listener says they remember once hearing that the white blossom ornamental pear trees, which are in full glory today in Orem, that they're particularly invasive species now in Utah.
Well,
are they? And then what would be a better ornamental white blossom tree to plant then?
Crab apples. I mean, I hate
plant
to have that
week
be
was
my
the crab apple.
Answer for everything, but a white blossoming crab apple will be better. Nationally, especially in wetter climates, the flowering pears are what they're commonly called, calorie pear. The Latin name is Pyrus caloriana. Mm-hmm. And whoever brought them over from China, I believe, was last name calorie or had something to do with it. And so we call them the calorie pears. In their native habitat, they're kind of a scrubby, thorny tree. And their only redeeming quality are the blossoms, and they were brought over to the United States and bred into thornless, tall, beautiful trees. And during the 67, you know, late 60s, 70s through the 80s, they were planted all over the place, and they're still being planted commonly in Utah. But what we're finding is that as they produce the pears, it's assumed they're fruitless or not. And as the pears are fed on by birds and they're moved, they will outcompete native trees in our forests. And they're becoming a huge problem in the Atlantic states and the Pacific Northwest. And over the last 5 years, several states have banned them. Several more states have them on their list to be not allowed to be planted anymore. And so in Utah, they don't have that potential because we're dry, but along our riverways, they absolutely do. And so where they're hardy down to 15 or 20 degrees below zero, they could work their way up our canyons to where it's just too cold and maybe outcompete native trees and shrubs. And when they come back from seed, they come back true to type of what they are in their native habitats in Asia, especially China, and they are not a nice thing to have. And so the other thing with them is commonality breeds contempt. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things that when I worked in the garden centers, people were like, oh, I want some flowering pears for my park strip. And I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go around the corner and vomit, and then I'll come back and help you. Just because it's just pear after pear after pear. And there are other plants that exist we can plant. And so between those two things, I usually don't recommend planting them anymore. I never recommend planting them. Mm-hmm. There are so many other good trees, hawthorns and the crab apples especially, that work well in our park strips. They mimic the flowers. A lot of times the crab apples actually smell better. The pears have a terrible scent to them. But I just, it's a tree I think should be phased out.
All right. You can call us now. The phone lines are open at 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. We're coming to you from Advanced Window Products in Salt Lake at 3052 South, 460 West. Jake and Nate are both with us this morning. And I think people really need to understand, Jake, that you guys are the only local window door manufacturing company that sells directly to the public. You guys do it all.
We do it all, and that's we're excited to have you here just because we have – it's a unique product, and it's something that we know can benefit the people of Salt Lake City, of Utah, homeowners that are out there that are dealing with the winter cold and having that the draft, that cold draft coming into their home, or in the summer months, knowing summer's coming up, it's dealing with that heat. And you talk about the glass that we use. As Nate mentioned, that you have that you can feel it's a big difference between the glass that we offer, the technology that's behind our glass, and what you currently have in your home. And there's a lot of reasons to be giving us a call today. But number one is just like our lead time right now, we're at about 8 weeks. And so you think about it's April 13th. If you were to call and get on the schedule today, you're going to speak with Rob. He'll come out to your home. And he's going to give you do that audit, the assessment of your current windows. And by the time he leaves, you'll know if you want to buy new windows or not. He'll have the price for you, all of your financing options. And if you were to get on the schedule and place that order with him, you're going to be getting those new windows beginning of June. And you think about that's right before this summer heat really kicks in. So if you're thinking back to your last, any homeowner that's out there, last summer, the heat, your heating bills, how hot it was, sleeping at night, the heat just staying in your home, give us a call. Give us a call, and we really can transform your home from the inside out. But we want to help you.
Right.
We want to make your home more comfortable.
You can talk to Rob right now at 801-850-9100. So, Nate, what do you tell those folks who might be a little bit worried, don't have as much money in their pocket right now? What kind of financing options, rebate options, what kinds of things are available to them?
Yeah, you know, there's a list. There's, you know, I have my top three reasons as to why a homeowner doesn't buy sooner. But number one would be just financing, right? Just depending on, you know, holidays and birthdays and life in general, those are some things that may deter someone from pulling the trigger and actually buying new windows. But here at Advance, again, we've been around for 37 years. We have a great relationship with multiple banks where really we can fit anyone's budget, right? You can buy up to 10 windows, and it can be monthly payments as low as $170. Get Rob to your home. Allow him to come through and do an audit of your windows. Put the numbers in front of you and what it would look like, and really give you peace of mind knowing that, hey, there is actually an opportunity to buy windows right now and upgrade my home from the curb appeal and the energy efficiency as well.
And it's tax season, tax returns. A lot of people use those tax returns. They wait. You could wait 12 months to make any payments with no interest and get that tax return money back, and then buy the windows and put that money toward that. We have these different options for you, and Rob can explain all of that when he's in the home.
All right. You want to call Rob right now at 801-850-9100. You just can call and ask him questions. You can call him to come to the showroom. See us, Advanced Window Products, 3052 South, 460 West.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, what allergies are killing me. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you this morning. Taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Next listener, Tom, wants to know the best raspberry and strawberry varieties for Utah that will give them berries all season, not just once. Is there one that... Do they do that all season?
Mine don't. Raspberries can give you a good early summer crop, and then many kinds will again fruit in late summer to early fall. And they'll give you sporadic berries through the summer when it's hotter. But for raspberries, just off the top of my head, Polka or Polana, P-O-L-A-N-A, would be two great ones that are everbearing for raspberries. And then for everbearing strawberries, either EV, like EVIE, EV2, or Seascape are two good ones.
Listener wants to know what the crab apple tree was that you mentioned you have in your yard.
Royal Raindrops.
Okay. Next listener wants to know, they have spots of round grasses that grow taller than their Kentucky bluegrass, and they've heard you talk about a wiki wand to swipe across those taller grasses to kill them without killing the entire spots in the lawn. Where do you buy this thing? How do you spell that thing? How is it pronounced?
Wicking, like I-N-G. Wicking
wand. Wicking
wand. I think it's almost like talking on the phone sometimes when you're on radio that you have
miss
to
a few of those.
Overly pronounce and spell things so
wicking.
That, yeah, and plus, you know, being born in a barn, sometimes that just happens when I talk. So the wicking wand, I have seen them at IFA and Steve Regan, and it just looks like a hockey stick. It's a green pipe, and there's other brands out there, but I saw one in Steve Regan in Spanish Fork very recently. Their Salt Lake location, Logan location, should have them.
Okay, Marianne's on the line. Good morning, Marianne. What was your question this morning?
My question is that my husband and I planted a bunch of daffodil bulbs last fall, and personally, none of them, well, in the front yard, they did good, but I have a back area, and it gets more sun in the front, and virtually none of them have bloomed.
All you can do is be patient at this point. When were they planted?
Probably in October.
Okay, so that's plenty of time for them to have the cold period they needed. So all I would do, and how, I really have one more question. How closely did you plant them together?
Probably put about two or three of them in a hole, but not touching.
Okay. I mean, the only thing I can figure is they may be a little too close. You want them 3 or 4 inches apart. And
okay.
So if they were just not touching in the hole, but within an inch of each other, they may think they're too crowded. And so what I would do is let them grow. And
okay, the other thing is I've heard at one point there might be a little bug that gets into bulbs, and I used to put in something like called Osmocote or something that used to prevent it. Would that be a problem?
No, it wouldn't. Daffodils don't generally get the bugs in them. The Osmocote's a fertilizer that wouldn't do anything. And so let them grow, and you might put some popsicle sticks or stakes in the ground where they're at. When they go dormant in mid to late June, give them a couple weeks, and sometime in July, August, you can dig them and space them out a little bit and see if that helps.
Okay. Very good.
Because if you had a bug in the bulb, the plants would be dead or just underperforming.
Oh.
But if they look totally healthy and they're not flowering, they may just be a little too close together.
Okay. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Great. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know, on baby fruit trees, specifically peaches, is it better to pull the blossoms off or wait and pull the fruit off if you want those trees to grow more?
It is. You want to exercise a little bit of tough love on those trees so that they can get their roots established and get that girth in the structural branches they need.
So do you pull the blossoms off or the fruit? Or both?
If you can bear it, you can pull the blossoms off.
I can't pull the blossoms
and
off.
And so generally what's recommended
is it okay
is
to wait for the fruit?
It is. You can wait until that fruit is pea-sized and then just carefully pull it off so you don't pull the leaves off. But if you want to do the blossoms, that's what generally growers do to help thin, is that they will go in and thin the blossoms, and that is totally fine.
They can't be sentimental like
off.
Me.
No.
They don't have any time or energy for that.
Fruit tree is not a puppy.
Fine. Next person says, this is Trish, I think. She bought a lavender twisted red bud. It stopped flowering and is fading. Is this a normal time for that? I mean, would it stop flowering? And
they only flower for about 10 days at
and then,
most.
So that's what they do. Okay.
That's just what they do. They'll leaf out and that's just what you get. And so red buds will give you anywhere, depending on the temperatures, from 1 to 2 weeks of flowers. If we're in the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. a couple of weeks. But if it's warmer, then around a week.
Okay. Next listener says they have white top weed that's growing in their lawn. What would be good to use to get rid of it?
A good lawn weed killer, so something like Speed Zone or T-Zone or Weed Be Gone Max. You may need to apply spring and fall, but those would be good products to use. Something containing 2,4-D.
Sherry is on the line in Bountiful. Good morning, Sherry. What was your question?
In Bountiful, and we have like billions of little cedar seeds, and they're everywhere in the lawn, everywhere. And we're wondering what we can use to kill them. We've taken away like 5, 6, 7, 8 garbage bags full of them, but they're just everywhere and they're killing everything.
So you say they're maple seedlings?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They came off the trees and they're starting to grow. I've been trying to pick them out, but it's like a carpet of them everywhere.
Yeah. As long as you don't have other desirable plants around, any lawn weed killer will get rid of them.
Okay. Could I use that on the grass?
The lawn weed killer is for the grass. In other areas, glyphosate, kills all Roundup would knock them out too.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try that. Try to get rid of them this way. Thank you so much.
Right. Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know how to grow delicious strawberries. They've tried several times, failed attempts. What kind of strawberry should they plant? What's your suggestion?
First thing you would do is test the soil to make sure there's nothing wrong with my soil. And if there's been strawberries grown in the same area for years, I would find a brand new area to grow them. Otherwise, they're going to need at least 6 hours of sunlight a day. And I would buy new certified virus-free plants. Don't get them from the neighbors. Don't get them, from a patch that you know of. You want new virus-free plants, because one of the problems you run into is the plants can look perfectly healthy, but if they have a virus in them, the fruit production can go down and the fruit sometimes can taste mealy or just off. And so get new plants in a new location. With a lot of sun.
All right, number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Today we are coming to you from Advanced Window Products. We're at the showroom, 3052 South, 460 West. Nate Orchard, Jake Weber with us, and I hope people come down and see the showroom. I really think that you have to touch and see and feel and open and close the windows to really get a good idea if it's the window for you.
Exactly. And, aside from that, it's one thing to come in here and really see the product, but also knowing what's going to be going into it. As far as the sealant that we use, I think is something we have to discuss, because it's one thing when you buy a window of any kind, but most importantly, it's the installers, right? Our installers are master certified, and they use the highest quality sealant in the market.
When I moved into my subdivisions, mm-hmm. it's been a while back, but within just 1 or 2 years of moving in, several people in the neighborhood had, during rainstorms, if it was windy, the water coming right through around the cracks of the window, the seams, and then they also had wasps coming in through the windows. And especially in a new home, mm-hmm. that should never be happening, to where you have wasps coming in, stinging your kids, and it's all coming
terrible.
From the windows.
No, 100%. And really what you run into more times than not in those newer developments, you have contractors who are hiring out the framers to put in the windows, right? Instead of having window specialists who do this every day, install the windows, you have guys who are framers putting in the windows, and you don't know if they're flashing it properly or if they're foaming around the window, all those things. And so we have the highest quality sealant you can get in the market, right? We use OSI. The foam is amazing. The sealant is even better. And with that, we equip our installers with all these things, giving you the proper seal, knowing that your windows are airtight and protected from the elements.
And you speak of those wasps getting in. Our windows have weed pools. So at the bottom of every window, there's like a drainage system. And so if water does kind of collect on that glass, it runs down and will drain out of the bottom of the window. a lot of windows do not have covers on those, what we call weep holes. And so, but our windows have covers that go over those holes and they open and close. So as water comes out, as it's draining, we'll let the water out, but won't let anything in. So it prevents those wasps from getting in. And you talk about, like, if there's ever any type of leak, let's say in like 10 years, you buy windows from us and there's, you start to notice like a little bit of water getting in. Look, you call us. You call us and we come out and take care of it. I'm sure your neighbors, it's like, wait, who do we go to? Who do we call?
Well, and even when you have your home warranty, you just get run in circles because you call the contractor and they, oh, it's a manufacturing problem. And then the manufacturer says, oh, it's a framing problem.
You're exactly right.
And you never get help.
Yeah. And that's why we encourage people, look, if you've even thought about getting new windows, please call us. Because that's where we are different in that we manufacture. You can walk in and you can watch your windows being made. And then we install the windows and we service them for life. So if anything ever comes up with those windows, you call us and we're going to have someone out there in the next few days to get out there to take care of any of those issues.
That number to call, 801-850-9100. Just call if you have some questions too.
Yeah.
You also have financing options and a special today to tell us about.
That's right. So when you call today and you get on the schedule with Rob and you purchase 10 or more windows, you'll get $3,000 off. Again, with the multiple financing options that will fit any budget, you just got to get Rob out to your home and he'll be able to take care of you.
And just to get that special, all you have to do is call and get on the schedule today. Rob can come out to your house. He could come out today. He can come out in the next 3-4 days, whatever's best for your schedule. There's no pressure when he comes out, but you'll lock in that $3,000 off 10 or more windows if you call and get on the schedule today.
So good to know. People are busy.
That's
so,
right.
Yep. Again, come down to the showroom and see us. We do have some greenhouse t-shirts to give away. And the number to call, 801-850-9100, or come see us, 3052 South, 460 West. We are at Advanced Window Products. Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Coming to you today from Advanced Window Products at 3052 South and 460 West. You can call them and ask questions. That number for Advanced Window, 801-850-9100. Back to our listeners now, Tom. Next listener says that they have a volunteer Cockspur Hawthorn. It's about 16 feet tall now. It's in its third year. Should they keep it? How do you make a decision like that?
16 feet, I don't know if that's a typo,
hmm.
But they don't grow that fast.
So maybe they meant 16 inches?
Yeah. And
no, they said feet.
The Cockspur Hawthorn is, there are cultivars or varieties that are thornless. And so that's its advantage over other hawthorns is that if, you know, a kid climbs in it, you know, it'd be a little kid because they're small trees, or you brush past them because it's thornless, then, you know, you just don't have that potential to get scratched up. But if it's a seedling, then that's my other question, because thornless is a recessive trait, and the tree eventually would likely come back as being a thorny tree. And so this is something that we would need some clarification on, because no hawthorn is going to grow 5 feet a year. And so I'm wondering, because there's got to be more to the story.
Okay. I am looking at our phone lines, and my screen is kind of messed up. Do we have Jason next? Is that
we have next? Jason next, Fungus on Zucchini.
Good morning, Jason. And what was your question this morning?
Good morning. My wife and I have started a new garden. We have raised beds that we have put in, and we're in our about fourth year of alternating our zucchini. And every year, about halfway through the season, it develops a white, I would assume a fungus, on the leaves. They grow and bloom beautifully, but then the second part of the year, they get this white, powdery, fungusy-looking thing on there, and then they struggle. And we've tried different fungicides and a couple of home remedies, and nothing seems to work. I'm hoping you can give me some advice.
Oops. Powdery mildew and many squash species and varieties are susceptible. One thing you could try is looking online for powdery mildew resistant zucchini and order some seeds in, and you'll probably have to get them online. Then are you overhead watering, or are you drip, or how are you irrigating them?
We're drip.
Okay, good. That will help. And then are your raised beds in an area where you have good air circulation?
They are around some fence line, so that could be an issue.
Because what causes powdery mildew to spread is lack of air circulation, higher humidity, and overhead watering. And so you've eliminated overhead watering, but if they're in an area with a lack of air circulation, even with drip irrigation, you can get a little bit higher humidity. And so I would try to find some powdery mildew resistant seed and try it, and then maybe spread out the zucchini so that if you can, don't have them touching. Maybe plant one in one bed and another in another bed and see if that helps, because if their plants are too close together, sometimes they can transfer that way. But even with powdery mildew resistant plants, they still will get it, but it could be late August into September when you're kind of tired of the zucchini, and you know, if that's the where you're putting it in the neighbor's car when they're not looking. So that's what I'd recommend doing.
Okay, no sprays or topical applications that you might recommend.
As soon as you see it, you could try it, but if it's already on there and widespread, there's not much you can do.
All right. Thanks so much for your call this morning. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Today coming to you from Advanced Window Products, 3052 South, 460 West.